You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I've been informed by the rulers of the grid of death that Greg Cody, the punishment was supposed to be, sing the national anthem before every show of the week. But because Greg Cody is only on with us on Tuesdays, it has now been made that Greg Cody will sing the national anthem to kick off the show all month, all of December. And
December!
I am positive that we will all forget.
Yeah, no, I will.
If I had to bet on it, I would say that there's no chance that that entire penalty gets served, that it'll be a grid of death failure that will have 1/4 completion. But I am happy to report, Chris Whittingham, after you said that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were tired of In the Hunt as a graphic, last night, Stugat, they came up with something different for teams close to the playoffs or around the playoffs.
Really exciting. What was it?
Sniffing around.
Yeah.
Sniffing around. I like that.
Sniffing with no G at the end. It's just an apostrophe.
Sniffing apostrophe. Yeah. Sniffing it.
The Commanders are sniffing it. The Lions are sniffing it. The Falcons are sniffing it. The Panthers are sniffing it. The Saints are sniffing it, which means everyone's sniffing it except the Texans.
That means that in the AFC, the Patriots would be sniffing it. The Chargers would be sniffing it. The Raiders would be sniffing it. The Browns and maybe the Steelers and the Colts as well.
I believe right now, Stugatz, are about to embark on something that I don't think has been done around here before. It's a bit gymnastics, rhythmic gymnastics, and it's a bit acrobatics and death-defying. I believe in this hour, we are going to do a back in my day, a funniest thing from the sports weekend, a Stugatz's weekend observation,
wow,
a Tony's top five,
man,
observations from the NFL,
right,
and Stugatz's top four times that someone has yawned in his face while he's doing radio.
Ah, yes. I got to find that list. Weeks ago, we started that conversation.
He's only got four of them, though. He couldn't make it out to be a top five because there are only four times he remembers where he was thinking that he was entertaining people and someone just yawned right in his face.
There is no worse feeling in live radio than when you're doing something, you think it's good, and you turn, and someone on your staff is just yawning right in your face. It's happened to me four times. I can't think of a fifth time. And listen, for people who think I try to come up with five just to have a top five, I don't. This is a top four, okay?
Don't you also have a list of top five Colorado Buffaloes?
I do. I got to find that one, too. Yeah.
That was from yesterday. We never.
Come on, Bobby Passavento. Come on.
I got it.
Well, we never got to it yesterday, although I did hear Mike in the kitchen walk past Stugatz and actually say with curiosity, what is that list of top five Buffaloes? I'd like to hear. I'd like to hear it because he just wanted to see if one of them come from the same play, the same Hail Mary. And they do, right?
It's just a big Bobby Passavento guy.
Bobby P.
Let's start with number five. Number five, Stugatz, top five. I was going to do weekend observations here, but let's do instead the top five Colorado Buffaloes, according to Stugatz. Buffalo names is what we're doing. Number five.
No, these are top five Colorado players of all time. We were talking about Deion taking that job. I said once upon a time that was a really good job. It was in the 90s, so I have my top five Buffaloes of all time. Rashawn Salaam.
Nice. Very good.
Number four.
Darian Hagan. Good little quarterback, man. He was good.
Number three.
Michael Westbrook.
Oh, yeah.
Number two.
Eric Bieniemy. Public Bieniemy. How about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sleeping with Bieniemy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That's right.
Chris
Sorry.
Burns special.
Yeah.
Number
Boomer.
Speaking of Chris Berman references, he had a reference from 2011 last night. I nearly fell off my sofa when there was a someone for, I forget who, had the name is Chris Evans has scored and go, when did Captain America score a touchdown? I was like, Chris Berman with a reference from this decade. Well done, sir.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Do you use the word couch or sofa? Because Whittingham even falls in surprise in a way that is highfalutin. Number one,
Cordell Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
An obvious one. You got your two players from one play. Slash. How about that?
I do want to go to your weekend observations now, but I can't help myself. Top four times somebody has yawned in Stugatz's face while he has been doing his show.
So the way this conversation started was you were asking me, Billy, and Chris, are we going to do the BCS on this show? We haven't done it on this show since 2019.
But God Bless Football featured it last week. Was it the first time? Or was it the first time that you guys had updated your personal Billy Chris Stugatz rankings?
No.
No. It was not the first time, but we haven't done it on this show since 2019. And there's a reason for it. You'll find out in a second. But we have shifted it over now to God Bless Football, where we annoy Golic instead of you.
It's like a whole new audience. Yeah. A whole new place to use that formula of just be annoying with somebody.
Yeah.
And BCS, this is not that, though. Or did something happen with the yawning and the BCS?
Well, that's how the conversation started. And the last time we did it, it was not met the way me, Billy, and Chris wanted it to be, you know, met by this show, one person in particular. And so that's why I came up with the top four times that people have yawned in my face while doing live radio.
Right. Why are you talking around it? Apparently someone yawned in Stugatz's face when we did the BCS.
Yeah.
So that's why he came up with
this
list.
Okay, and so maybe this is on the list. It must be because there are only four. So number four, Stugatz.
The yawn of 2019, Mike Ryan. During the last time we did the BCS on this show, I turned to my left. I deliver the number two team in the country, and Mike yawned right in my face. Why we don't do it anymore.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I did that last night to Jeremy Taché as he talked about how the lottery had given $1 billion over to education.
Wow.
He was just shilling, blankly shilling for the lottery.
Well, Jerber now has a list to make. I mean, he's been yawned at once.
Number
work
three.
By them, though.
This was a great yawn. We were doing two-a-days back when the Heat were making championship runs. Me and Mark Hockman, who used to produce this show in the mornings, then me, Hawk, and Dan in the afternoon. We were doing a segment called Say Something Bad About Your Wife. I regret that segment. But people would call in, they'd say something bad about their wife. I turned to Whittingham at one point, and he yawned right in my face. And I'll never forget it. And he knows it.
That's true. I will go a step further. I out and out fell asleep during the morning show you guys did once. It was like my third week on the job.
Yeah.
NBA Finals games were rather late.
Mm-hmm.
And I just straight up fell asleep in the corner for 20 minutes.
Yep. Made us feel great.
That's fairly shocking that a young, ambitious, hungry Whittingham.
I'll never forget it.
Would have the energy to briefly yawn in your face and then would nap for 20 minutes on the job.
Those are long nights.
Well, once Stugatz and Hawk have dipped into the file of let's open up the phones and just have people say something bad about their wife, you know you have reached the end of the content mill.
We were tired, man.
Number two.
The yawn of 1999. I was giving an impassioned and bolded take about the new stadium and stadiums in general. And who was there to yawn in my face after I listened to all of his passionate arguments about stadiums, about this, about that? The Hammer, Hank Goldberg.
The late Hank Goldberg.
I was rolling, man. I felt like I was onto something good. I was trying to channel my inner Hank, and he responded by yawning right in my face.
Wow. He was your host. You were making a big show. You were young in your career, and you thought you were delivering the goods.
I really did, and I thought Hank would be impressed. It was a well-thought-out, nuanced argument. I thought Hank would be impressed. Now, in fairness to Hank, him yawning, like he yawned so many times per show that perhaps he just happened to yawn that one time as I was delivering that rant. I mean, he always yawned.
I didn't know he was a yawner.
He was a big yawner.
Wow.
Carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
This was a bad one. I don't remember what year it was. Perhaps Dan does. But we had two ESPN executives down to see if they could turn our radio show into a television show, put it on TV. I was super excited. Mike was super excited. Dan was super excited. These are the guys who created PTI. These are the guys who created Around the Horn and Highly Questionable. They're down there. They're sitting there. We're doing our show. I don't remember the topic. I remember laughing a lot.
It was Jim Brown's Playgirl spread.
Oh, that's right. And we're laughing, cackling, having a great time, good chemistry. I turned to my right. That executive not only yawned, but minutes later fell asleep in his chair. Eric Rideholm, congratulations.
To Eric Rideholm. They did come down to see if they could televise our radio show. We did talk to Jim Brown about making a woman jealous by purposely posing in Playgirl magazine and talking at length about the size and of his penis. And they packed up their things and said, we cannot air this. But not before yawning in Stugatz's face.
Oh, yeah. And falling asleep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because all you have when you're doing the radio show is the audience are the people who are working on the show, and you got to use them to gauge whether or not it's funny. There is no worse feeling than when you think you're doing something great and someone on your staff just yawns in your face. Oh, it's the worst.
It is a fine list, and now we segue right from that into Stugatz's. Oh. Again, this is death-defying what we're trying to do this hour. It's Tony's top five. It's all these other top fives. It's back in my day. It's weekend observations, and it is funniest thing. Cramming it all, trying to cram it all into one explosive hour of fireworks. Let's start the weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes. No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories, available for delivery. Why are you fist bumping?
Miller Lite.
Attaboy. Deliver it right to your house.
Let's go.
Who's better than you?
Deliver it right to my mouth. That's more like it.
Dan... during a brief flirtation with a sport, in large part due to a man scoring a goal with his penis, we as a country lost our focus and forgot what's really important to us, what makes us who we are. And I, for one, would like to apologize to it. So, I'm sorry, and I suggest everyone do the same. Because after a weekend that saw the Jets being the Jets, Geno Smith being the MVP, Tua not being the MVP, Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, their greatness on full display, and of course Tom Brady. Dan, make no mistake about it. Football, real football, the kind we're good at. Dan, the NFL is back.
He's his back, so getting longer and longer and longer.
Setting him up, Roy.
Set up, yeah.
Speaking of back, unfortunately, Deshaun Watson is. Another week, another great loss for the Chicago Bears. I mean, they are having a season.
This is going to be your take. You're going to stick with the take that they just should keep losing.
They're having a season. They have a quarterback. They know they have a quarterback, and now they have a great draft pick. That's a season right there. Dolphins, too a little. Too late. What happened? Sean Payton, LA Chargers, collision course. Christian Pulisic's penis still has more World Cup goals than Christian. I'm not sure why I keep making the penis seem like it's detached from its body, like it's a separate person and player. I know it's just fun. It is. Plus, that would mean too many players on the field.
I made the mistake, incidentally. It's one of a couple of mistakes that I have to correct today. Evidently, the Daily Mail did not refer to you as Brian Wiener.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
They referred to you as Brain Wiener. Brain Wiener, when quoting you
it's
about
really
asking Walker Zimmerman about Pulisic's penis.
Dan, you know what the C in Colorado stands for?
I do not.
It stands for Coach Prime. Can't wait until Dion realizes that everyone in Boulder is a stoner and listens to the Dead and Fish. Coach Prime, more like Coach Kind. Dion in Colorado. There's going to be a weed endorsement there, right?
No.
There has to be. That's all they have there.
You think there's going to be a weed endorsement for a...
Neon Dion something. There's going to be. Yes, I do. I believe. Yeah, why not? It's legal.
He'll have a strain of weed named after him.
Yes.
That guy. Yeah.
I mean, anything to make money for his assistants, for the kids, for himself. Why not? He's the star of that show, isn't he?
Yes. He is the star of the Colorado show. What are you shaking your head about, Mike?
He's already working the portal hard.
He is.
He's coming after people that are committed. He's trying to flip people. He was doing that before he actually took the job. It's going to be interesting to see how this works out, because typically it takes a minute for someone that's not Power 5 to get accustomed to it. There's this mentality that some of the Sun Belt coaches have, but they've never been of the bravado of Deion Sanders, and they've never come from an historically black college before. So I'm really fascinated to see how this turns out. Everyone's expecting in the portal age for quick fixes, and I think that's a little difficult, but we've had recent examples. Lincoln Riley, even Mel Tucker doing it twice, once at Colorado. Very curious to see how this goes.
This is straight up unrestricted free agency. Now, I saw Lewis Riddick point that out on Twitter last night. I hadn't thought of it that way. Like, what is the average number of ins and outs going to be at every school? I saw that a starting Miami defensive lineman is entering the portal. It's just wild how it seems like every team's going to have 18 ins and 18 outs in the transfer. I always call it the transfer market because that's what it is in soccer.
Well, there's some people that are getting bad advice, and entering the portal doesn't necessarily mean that you leave. In fact, you'd be surprised at the amount that end up staying, but it's all about testing your market and finding out what someone else is willing to pay you, and then you go back to your collectives and say yesterday's price wasn't today's price. I advise every high-end prospect to go out and find out what their value is.
Mike, so they dip in, and then if they don't get what they want, they just come right back out? Is that what you're...
They can come back. They use it as leverage. Sometimes you know where the money is, where you're at. It's all really messed up games.
The definition of free agency is what.
I think when you get to the pro ranks, there is a bit of bluffing, obviously in the pro ranks, but you can share information. All this stuff is above board, so there are legal ways that you can find out exactly what someone's market value is. You have someone having multiple conversations. Yeah. I'll come over there, multiple airline tickets to fly into different places, people pocketing the money. It's why I do think the NCAA or whatever governing body does have to get in there, because you open the door for a lot of people being burned. There's nothing stopping these possible commits from collecting money as they consider and then just keeping it.
Carson Wentz, 49ers, collision course, Ohio State. Was trailing to Northwestern in the second half. That's all I got.
That is all you've got in terms of college football analysis.
Well, I'll remind you, this season, Northwestern.
Terrible.
0-11 in games played inside the United States. Number one in Ireland, though. I mean, Ohio State was trailing to that dreadful team. They're in the playoff. USC was 11-0 against everyone else. And 0-2 against Utah. You, of course, know what that means, right, Dan?
Isn't that the same thing that happened to Cristobal?
It means the Utes have the Trojans' number.
Did it happen in Oregon? Same thing. Utah just wiped the floor with them twice. Nobody wants Utah's players, right?
They're good players.
I mean, evidently, what right does Utah, as you spend $5 million on Deion Sanders trying to get into Utah's class, how is Utah 10 wins good every season?
How is no one stolen their coach?
He's sneaky old.
He is.
Yeah, I know he is sneaky old, but like for five, like College football programs cannot be planning for longer than 5 years at this point. If you get a good 5-year run out of someone, that's you're doing well.
Well, you're paying them for more than that, though. Like Ferentz and Jimbo, you know, these are people who have been around, or their contracts go through almost 2030.
Kyle Whittingham has had a lot of success at Utah. He's 63 years old, which is why a lot of people haven't come knocking on his door. In base salary, he also makes about $1 million less than Deion Sanders will be making at Colorado in his first year as a Power 5 head coach.
Mm. Hey, Netherlands, beat us in real football. Also, do it in the finals. The U.S. men's soccer team, a quarterback away. Congratulations to the men's U.S. soccer team for finishing in 16th place. Not terrible. We're the Blaine Gabbert of soccer. Andrew Luck, 49ers, collision course.
Wait a minute.
What happened?
And you already have Carson Wentz there?
Oh, we'll see what happens, Dan. See how it plays out, you know?
Are they going to be colliding into each other, Wentz and Luck, on the way to the huddle? Like, how's this work?
I'm not saying they're going to sign all of them. I'm just, you know, saying it's a possibility. If there was a team to draw Andrew Luck out of retirement, it would be a team right around where he lives. It would be a team that's that good, that loaded, that he feels like, hey, you know what? 8 games, win a Super Bowl, go back to doing what it is I was doing.
How
right?
did you decide that he lives there?
I think he does.
I think he still lives in Indy.
I'm not so certain. Oh. Went to Stanford. I believe he's from that area. Look it up. I don't know. Just connecting dots, Bill.
That was a barrage you hit him with of look it up, connecting dots.
Yes.
I'm not so certain.
I'm not so certain.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck was born in Washington, D.C.
Huh.
My father ended every argument that way my entire life. I don't know about that. No matter what the fact was,
that's great.
I don't know about that. I had no rebuttal. I lost every argument.
I know. You can't beat that.
He went to high school in Houston, Texas.
Hmm.
College is where he went.
Just
to Stanford.
Doing what you asked. I looked it up.
Where's he live now, though?
Which isn't that close. It's not. Is Stanford that close to wherever it is the 49ers are playing these days?
Yeah, very close.
Yeah.
Northern California.
As a matter of fact, Seth Wickersham just did a profile on Andrew Luck that came out today.
See?
And in... Are you saying C? I haven't even finished. There's an anecdote relayed in the story from May of this year, and it's a May morning in Indianapolis. Yeah. He is indeed still living in Indianapolis.
Told you.
To back him up, also Wikipedia says that after his retirement, Luck continued to reside with his family in Indianapolis.
Summer home. He said May.
Right? Oh, wait. According to Wikipedia... The family relocated to the Bay Area in 2022.
Yeah, damn right they did.
He always wins, Mike. Alabama's still going to win the championship in college football.
It's funny you said that. My next observation. I still think Alabama's getting in the Tide. How'd you know? TCU.
In fact, he relocated because according to his former coach, David Cho, who recently resigned, Andrew Luck is going back to Stanford as a graduate student to pursue his master's degree in education.
Ah, it's all coming together.
Oh,
thank you.
This makes me rethink every look it up that Stugatz has ever lobbed in our direction. Does he know that once we start looking it up, he will be proven right every single time?
Lots of student loans for master's in education. Trust me.
Okay.
Pay the teachers.
Save the whales. TCU, live by the sword, die by the sword. Philip Rivers, 49ers, collision course. That'd be a great one. Oh, man. Since I said this might be Greg Popovich's greatest coaching job ever, the Spurs have lost 11 straight. They are bad. Tanking for that kid. I don't know his name.
Wembanyama. Did you see that clip? He's making one-legged three-pointers now. He's making one-legged three-pointers.
Really?
I don't think I've ever seen a prospect that electric.
No, we've never seen anybody like that. It's lunacy. He's cartoon. He's an elastic cartoon.
Luke Schoonmaker is such a Michigan football name. Time now, Dan, for the Jim Mandich top five list of great Michigan football names.
All right, let's do it.
Outside looking in, Jake Butt. Tom Curtis. TC. John Runyon.
Oh, yeah.
This has never happened before. I have a tie at number five. Jake Long. And Jared Irons. How about that? Number four. Steve Hutchinson. Hutch. Number three. John Jansen. Number two. Jumbo Elliott. And number one. Tom Brady.
No Tim Biakabatuka.
Nah.
No Jay Reimersma.
Nope. My list.
Fair enough.
I mean, Brady. Watch out for the Pels. They're good.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield. 49ers. Collision course. For the love of everything chaotic in sports, please let Jim Harbaugh go to the NFL and please have Michigan replace him with Urban Meyer. That would be so great. Why not?
You continue to long for Urban Meyer
at Michigan
football.
No, just at Michigan. Just that's the only place I want him is at Michigan. It'd be so urban to go take over Michigan. Be great. Dan, it's been 4 years in the making. And here we are, just 5 days away to a Herbert, a game that will decide everything. But most importantly, who won the 2019 draft?
Really?
Yep. This is it.
One game.
Yep. Signing a 34-year-old injury-plagued pitcher for $185 million guaranteed is so Texas Rangers. Jacob DeGrom, thank you for giving us your good years. The DeGrominator. Say DeGrominator into your phone. Talk it. Talk the text. And I guarantee you, what it spits back is grandmother. Very frustrating. Who is this guy? Luardo Martinez.
Lautaro Martinez.
Whatever. Missed 47 chances Messi created for him in 10 minutes. That can't be right.
Your observations.
47 chances? I know. You would think I would remember, but
a little bit,
it was in a haze.
A little bit of sarcasm.
Yeah. Dan, you know what the B in the bear stands for?
I do not.
Bye-bye. The playoff committee should let the country vote the fourth team into the playoff. How about that?
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Levitard Show. Should the playoff committee let the country vote by poll for the fourth team in the playoff?
It would always be like the Texas Longhorns or something that would get in, right? Like, yeah. If it was just a popularity contest, it'd just be like a super, or Penn State or something.
Honestly, FIU would stand a chance because you have like the biggest student body in the country.
Yeah, there you go.
Panthers. God, that would be great.
Let's go.
Quick update in the Rams-Lions, Jared Goff-Matthew Stafford trade. The Rams may have won the battle, but the Lions just might win the war. Hmm? Sorry. Looked at you strangely.
They won the Super Bowl. Like, I thought that
was the battle. I mean,
I thought that the Super Bowl was the war.
Goff's playing well.
I thought the Super Bowl was the war.
That's the battle. The war is career. I mean, you know, jury's still out, Dan. We'll see. If you're not going to let Justin Fields be Justin Fields, then sit him. Jacksonville Jaguars, one step forward, two steps back. Aaron Rodgers, 49ers, collision course. Giants, big tie. Well done. The G-Men, Fred McGriff, tip of the cap, sir. The crime dog. Not sure what the hell is going on, but Dan, I think we live in a world where the Sacramento Kings are good. Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
I'm going to get some golf ASMR.
Stugatz.
Oh, me.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Hello, Lefko. How are you, buddy?
Oh, Dan. I'm great, brother. How are you?
Lefko.
Man, what a loss for the Jets, huh? Man, yeah, how many times
you're
can you get in the red
zone? Way too much. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Right. The Eagles are good once in a blue moon. Congratulations. I know you won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, but come on.
So what is it when Alaska, where they don't have, like, they don't have moon for, what, like, months at a time? That's like what it is to be a Jets fan, huh? Your white knight couldn't solve it for you. Nah. That's depressing.
No, nah, but no one else could ever solve it for us. So why should I be surprised by that? I
mean, yeah, that's true.
Yep.
No, I'm just kidding. I love you too.
Adam, it feels like you really enjoyed the Jets' misery. Do you enjoy the suffering of the Jet fan?
He's Philly, man.
There is this dynamic on the East Coast where Eagles and Jets fans always seem to be friends because we have similar colors. We both hate the Giants, and I hate being compared to the Jets. And so it's like Philadelphia is always called like New York's little brother, and then Jets fans say it, and it's like, not your little brother. Like, we don't agree with that.
What is the team that gets you most childhood emotional? That
Cowboys.
You're a crazy person.
Cowboys. And I really only see it because I see my dad. My dad will walk down the street if he sees a Cowboys fan. It doesn't even have to be a Sunday. And he'll go, hey, and then they'll stick their hands up and then he'll give them the finger and he'll say, F the Cowboys. And that brings me back to like my stoic philosophy of not being like that. But no, it's ingrained in my blood, Dan.
How old were you the first time you saw your father do that?
I used to be at diners when I was six, and he would have me recite the 93 Phillies like starting like lineup. So I would say right around there is when it really got passionate.
Are you crazy about this Eagles team? Like,
yeah.
You're nuts?
I am, but I have this awful up and back. Part of it is because of something that we experienced together last January when Nick Sirianni was hired, where all of my friends love me and they just text me things like, you have to be so happy right now. And I have, you know, basketball players hitting me up and being like, bro, I know that you're happy. And then I have, every time I go on Twitter, I have like 50 tweets just retweeting that Nick Sirianni video being like, no, get out of here. You're not a part of the fan base. And it's ruined social media for me, to be honest.
Is that right? So you were the guy, you were one of the few guys out there very early making fun of that initial press conference that everybody was making fun of because it was gibberish. But Eagles fans haven't forgiven you for being the first in line to make fun of a truly epically bad first press conference by a coach.
I wrote, you've got to be kidding me. Which I thought was innocuous enough that I wasn't going to go, this guy is going to stink. Like, I thought I was smart about this. And of course, it has 42,000 likes. I even posted like a quote from a Chinese philosopher to try and explain Nick Sirianni's quote, which was less thinking equals more talent takeover. And I try to even explain it. But no, I get trashed every single touchdown. And I understand now why non-Eagles fans have an issue with the Eagles fan base. And I was kind of wondering today, for your approval, can I delete this tweet? Like, I have tried to say I will take it and I will bear all of the brunt. If I delete it, there will be screenshots, but it won't be the video. Can I delete this tweet, Dan?
Mike Ryan is saying no. He's vigorously shaking his head no. And I'd like to give Lefko permission. Lefko is the rare, not obnoxious Philadelphia fan. The idea that he's a delightful person. He's charming. He's kind. He's got positivity around him at all times. For him to turn on the Eagle fan base because it's too cruel for him, when he was fairly benign and making fun of a press conference that we were all making fun of, Mike Ryan is still shaking his head no.
I can't allow it, because there are multiple times a season I go back and search Twitter for that video to remind myself why I thought Nick Sirianni would not be a good hire. So that needs to stay
up. I'll send you the video. I will text you the video.
No.
I am asking
for a mental reprieve.
No, I think you revel in that
quote. You revel in that, you own it and you're proud of it.
Yep.
And you wave it like a flag.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need some back in my day justification right now.
I'm telling you, own it.
I didn't realize that was Greg Cody. I should have known from the back of the head, because I can't see from this camera angle.
That's right. Thank you for that. Back in my day, you didn't delete something from Twitter.
It makes me sad, though, that Lefko, a personable Lefko, has been defeated by social media. And around your team, no less. What a shitty experience.
This could have been such a special year. I was the first one to say that Jalen Hurts was going to be a stud. It took me 3 snaps when he filled in for Carson Wentz against the Saints. This is back in 2020. I got the receipts to prove it. I've been right about every Eagles draft for the last 5 years. I haven't missed. I celebrated with Jason Kelce live when the Eagles traded for AJ Brown. I have all of these moments in which I feel as though me and the Eagles will be forever entwined. And the one time I tweeted, "You've got to be kidding me," haunts me every single week. I understand Mike has been through a lot with his Cleveland Browns, his Miami Hurricanes, and I feel like he's passing that off to me. I think Greg is taking decades of drama and he's just transferring it to me. Dan said I could, but I might need hands. I might need a majority of the Levitard clan, and I definitely don't need Stu Gatz.
Lefko, I might be able to help you out here, though, okay? Greg Cody, you've given the opportunity to delete your Scott Mitchell article that you wrote where, you know, they should get rid of Marino and go with Scott Mitchell. Would you take that opportunity?
I would not.
Really?
No.
It's part of you?
That proves what I'm saying here. You take controversy, you refigure it, and you make it work for you. It's been great.
One of my great, really favorite things about Greg Cody's entire career is not just that column, but that he appeared the next day on local news, silhouetted out and with a voice distorter interview that he did, because he was in hiding for trading Mitchell, trading Dan Marino to make room for Scott Mitchell. But I give you permission. I think, Lefko, you should do it right now heroically. I think you should do it on air. You should do it publicly as a purging, and furthermore, symbolically, as just a notice to an inspiration to people across the world that you will not let social media get you down. You will not allow others. You will take away the power from them to do this to you, that you're going to clean slate it in a way that's emotional, symbolic, and no apologies. You've deleted it. You've taken the beating. It's not a deleted in shame thing. You want to be done with the cruel and acid-filled nature of the internet.
Wow. Mike, Ryan, is that okay with you?
He's going to send it to you personally, Mike. Your narcissism cannot win here.
I will save this video.
Normally I would speak for the masses here, but you are really trying to be you're trying to appeal to my vanity, so I'm going to allow it. Yeah, I'm super vain. Please pump up my ego.
Look at this. It's publicly. It's happening right now. Publicly. Look at this.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at this. It's happening.
Don't do it.
Yes.
Don't do it.
Yes.
Don't
clean your life of this poison. Free yourself. There it is.
It's gone.
Oh. How do you feel, Lefko? How do you feel?
How do you feel?
Right now, I feel great. In about an hour, when someone tweets me, the internet never forgets, I won't feel as great.
That's right.
But I'm happy that I've waited about nearly 2 years to do this on this show, because the show has always meant so much to me. I look at Dan as a father figure and an older brother simultaneously, which is a little complicated. But thank you. The amount of weight that is now off of my shoulders.
Be free. Be free. You are stronger than the internet. You are stronger than cruelty. You are stronger than the negativity that surrounds you in this arena.
It's gone.
Yes.
Mike, you gave him permission. Yes. You told him it was okay.
But it's just not the same when you search at Adam Lefko, kidding me, and it's gone.
That's what you typed in?
That's always what I type in. Lefko, kidding me.
Lefko, everyone's sad now. I have something you could do just to make everyone, put a smile on everyone's face, okay? Can you recite the 93 Phillies roster for us? Because there are some great names there.
Okay, so it's Darren Dalton at catcher.
Dutch.
Left field is Pete Incaviglia.
So good. So that one's
second,
so good.
Second base was Mariano Duncan. Oh. Shortstop was Mickey Morandini. Center field was Lenny Dykstra.
Who, nails. Lenny.
If I would have known as a child what he turned into, my fandom would have been questioned.
Same here.
Right field was Jim Eisenreich. And then I'm going to miss a few. I'm missing first base and third base. Well,
wasn't Kruk the first baseman?
Kruk!
Right.
Kruk!
Krucky. Yeah.
And, I cannot remember third right now.
It was Hollins. Ryan Hollins.
Dave Hollins.
Dave Hollins.
That's
thank you.
Dave Hollins.
That's a wrong sport.
He had a flat neck. He had a flat neck.
Thank you for doing that.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Incaviglia is such a wonderful name, not just comedically, because every time he left left field, there was a splotch of testosterone puddled in the outfield on the AstroTurf.
That Phillies team had such juicy mullets.
Yeah.
Everyone on that team in unison said, let's get all the testosterone and just grow it out the back of our heads. It was phenomenal.
He's the host of the NBA on TNT Tuesdays, and he's one of the hosts on NBA Bet Streams presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Are you a gambler?
That answers that.
Dan, I want you to know that you are currently talking to the number one quarters bettor in the world. I bet NBA quarters. Like last night, the fact that your Miami Heat knocked off Memphis in the first quarter, I don't care that you lost the game. You stopped the greatest four. Last night, the best first quarter team in the NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies, went down, and the worst first quarter team in the NBA, the Indiana Pacers, won. That's how sick I am. If you want to know other quarters, we can get into that too. But yeah, I do like to put in a bet on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Mike Ryan just said that Memphis first quarters has been a thing for more than 3 years.
Yeah,
now.
The D-gens know.
Oh, man. It's, you know, last year your Miami Heat were the best third quarter team in the NBA, and the Boston Celtics were the best second quarter team in the NBA. We all know about the Warriors third quarter, but yes, that is, I enjoy, I call them Left Coast sprinkles, because as I'm watching a game, I'm like, this is out of hand, sprinkle.
It's too much, though, Adam. That is too much. I would say that when you're doing it with that level of need for action, because a game isn't enough. You have to have props. You have to have quarters. You have to have a lot of money spread around. I don't know what too much is, but it sounds to me like too much.
I actually, and I don't want to get it. If you want to get into betting, I would just say that what I don't understand about these sports books is when a team goes up 5-0 to start a game, why does the line move? We are all rational human beings. If the line before the game is, let's say, Heat by 5, after the other team goes up 5-0, why would it then go down to 2 or 3? And the reason that I bet quarters is it happens even more drastically. So let's say the Heat were favored to win the first quarter by 1 and the Grizzlies go up 6-0. Well, now suddenly, the Heat are expected to lose the first quarter by 8. it just, I'm just trying, it's not the sports bookies or whatever they're called, the bookmakers, the computers, I don't think understand what's going on. And as someone that cares about humankind, I'm trying to stop Judgment Day and take down the computers.
Let's talk some basketball here, because it seems like every conversation for a couple of years has been a Nets conversation or a Lakers conversation. When you get excited about talking about the good things happening in basketball, where do you head?
Last night was a perfect example of the Oklahoma City Thunder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They are a team that everyone counts out, and that every time I watch them, they can be down 10 points and they roar back. You expect them to be young and inexperienced, but they never falter in the clutch. The Thunder have been a great team to watch. The thing that I do not enjoy watching is the Philadelphia 76ers. Imagine you have a player like James Harden that is gone for weeks and he comes back and he shoots 4 for 18 and he plays 38 minutes. Like, what is Doc Rivers even doing? Other positives that get me excited, the Dallas Mavericks and Luka trying to take 1-on-5 at any given time. And if I was going to give you one more, the Utah Jazz. I have a Utah Jazz season over that I bet on DraftKings Sportsbook that I look at and smile at all the time.
What was the number there?
Like 18 or something?
23.5.
Oh my God, 14.
Yeah, they have 14. That one I mainly bet so that I could prove to Dwayne Wade that I'm a loyal friend. And I was like, oh yeah, man, I bet you're over. But now I'm like, man, I am so smart.
Well done, though, Lefko.
Are you bummed that, and I don't, you know, you love Crawford as well, but are you bummed that Dwayne Wade is no longer going to be doing that?
The thing about Dwayne is he always cared more about being a great person. And so when you're the host, you kind of have to sit by yourself sometimes and just watch the other games and do a lot of note prep. And the amount of times that he would just come and sit there in between the third and fourth quarter, and I would ask him questions about fatherhood. I'd ask him questions about being a husband, like that real human connection beyond like, wow, can you believe they're down 20? Those are the moments that I'll miss. And Jamal's my guy. We text all the time and I love him too. But like Wade, we just would look at each other and he would remind me, he's like, look where you are. So like, as a human, I will miss Dwayne. We still text a lot, but it was those moments where it felt like we were the only ones there. And I can be like, hey, I'm getting married. You know, what am I about to experience? Those are the moments that I'll miss with him the most.
The Boston Celtics seem to you every bit as overwhelming as the numbers suggest?
They don't have Horford last night. They don't have Marcus Smart. They go into Toronto, and Toronto made it close to the end, and it wasn't even a game. Boston right now has the number one half-court efficiency, I think, of the last decade. They are awful in transition. They are literally just hitting every jump shot. I worry that it's hard to sustain this for the long time, for like the rest of the regular season, but they are playing perfect basketball for playoffs. And I look at Boston, I think it is them. I believe it is a gap. And then I think it's everybody else. I think Milwaukee is probably the second closest. But I think what Boston has done with their coaching issues, with what everything that happened with Ime Udoka, I thought they were going to fall off. They lose Robert Williams. Boston right now, day night in, night out, best team in the NBA, and it's not even close.
Lefko, are you buying the Kings?
I'm buying the beam. I am buying the Kings. I think defensively they are going to get better because that's what Mike Brown does. And I think offensively they have found a really nice balance where it's not just De'Aaron Fox save us. I love the way that they cut. Great third quarter team. Great third quarter team, Dan. You want to bet the Kings, you go third quarter away. When they're away, not at home.
On the road.
When they're away. Right. On the yes. way. Yep. Third quarter Kings. But I'm just happy that,
write that down. Hold on.
We're not just talking about Shaq's quote about the Kings and the Queens from 20, 30 years ago. there seems to be positivity. This beam represents a hope for a fan base. No, I'm buying him for real. I think they could be a play-in team.
You have perspective. Again, he's the host of the NBA on TNT Tuesdays and one of the hosts on NBA Bet Streams presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. You mentioned Robert Williams, and I ask you, when doing the calculations on we have to win, we have to win, did the Boston Celtics damage Robert Williams?
Oh, with the playoffs last year?
Yeah, making him play or him playing through all of that. And like, did they damage his career?
Wow. This is where I turn into like a Greg Cody, where I'm like, when you got an opportunity for a championship, you got to risk all your limbs to get it. They were up 1-0 on the Warriors.
That did sound
you know, they were up 2-1 on the Warriors in the finals. But listen, that's why you get paid the money, you know? Like, listen, when I was writing for the Miami Herald back in 1945, there was a player named Gino Toretta.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, we'll know that answer when he comes back, because all signs right now, they're talking about him at practice looking really good. So the fact that they've been able to give him a little bit more time in the beginning of this season, we'll see. I hope not, because what he brings to that team and his potential as a player is so high.
I just didn't understand why he was out there in that condition. I didn't think that him in that state was even the same player.
Isn't it weird that we can celebrate when a player toughs it out, but we can't ask for them to tough it out? You know, like, we can't say he should play, but when he does, we can celebrate it. So like, we all know that we're biting our lip and just being like, man, I really hope you play through it. Like, that's the dilemma with Anthony Davis. When he's playing at this MVP level, we're so happy. And when he gets hurt, we've reached a point, and I agree with it, that we can't bemoan the fact that he's hurt. So injuries are such a weird place that we're not supposed to talk about, but when you tough it out, we celebrate it, but you can't celebrate it too much because then you're glorifying it. So I'm always caught in that weird middle ground.
Are you surprised the Lakers have seemed to kind of figure this out with Darvin Ham, Westbrook off the bench, Anthony Davis at the five, LeBron's healthy, playing well? I know they're an injury away, but they're playing really good, Lefko.
I got called a hater in my group chat because I just brought up the teams that the Lakers have beaten on this run.
Oh, here we go.
And so if I can find it, I said, listen, I'm so happy that Russell Westbrook has accepted this role off the bench. I'm so excited that Anthony Davis is playing at this level. They beat the Nets when they were on the second game of a back-to-back. They beat the Pistons, the Spurs. They beat the Spurs again. They beat the Blazers without Damian Lillard. They beat the Bucks when they were just into their first game back with Middleton. They beat the Wizards and Beal got hurt in the first quarter, and they lost to Phoenix and they lost in that buzzer beater to the Pacers. So they went 7-2 in that stretch. But again, I want the Lakers to be good because I'm sure that the Lakers will be on TNT Tuesday almost every show this year. And there is nothing worse than getting to the studio and going, oh, we have a team that has no chance of making the playoffs. So if LeBron and AD got it going, that's great. I'm not ready to buy in. We were crowning DeRozan as MVP midway through last year. Players have good these point. Stretches sometimes, and we need to celebrate it when it's happening, but I don't think we should bet futures on it on DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't do that. Anthony Davis is likely not going to win MVP. Okay.
Thank you for being on with us, Lefko, and I hope you still feel the freedom. I hope you feel you're still soaring through the sky because you've rid yourself of this internet cruelty. Congratulations.
What I feel right now, Dan, is raindrops on my face as I reach to the heavens like Andy Dufresne crawling through miles and miles of feces. And what you have given me are my wings back. Thank you.
It will be short-lived, I promise.
See you later.
Worst, he's the worst.
Okay, love y'all. See you later.
See you, Lefko.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.